closer.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, how you doing this afternoon?
You know what? I'm doing well.
We're a mess.
We are a mess. But let me tell you something about us right now. We are safe.
We are.
And we are looking outside the window here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right.
You got to put some Nevada on this one because, like, the Nevada has been sweeping all over, like, around us and, like, this massive dust cloud. You and I, we just came back from lunch.
Yeah.
And we
when we left, we could see the mountain.
When we left, we could see the mountain. And then when we came back, no mountain.
There's no mountains. Because there's a giant dust cloud moving across the desert. And it is, it's eerie. It really is, like, that looks dangerous.
Oh, man.
I mean, it is dangerous.
We're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. But if you never hear from us again, it's because we got lost in a dust storm.
Yeah, like, no, that's right. They'll come. Maybe someone will unbury us somewhere.
Man, I am super excited. We've got, ladies and gentlemen, a Squire Select.
Yes, it is.
And, you know,
we've been
doing something this year, and we're continuing on in this tradition where we're taking a spirit and we're pairing it with pipe tobacco.
Yeah,
that
sure.
Is
sure.
What longtime listeners have come to know and expect from Squire Select. But we are carrying on the tradition of doing a little twist, turning that spirit into a cocktail, and then pairing it with pipe tobacco.
Nice.
And I'm really excited. And for better or for worse, we're also continuing the tradition of John David, master of pipes, doing the pairing of the spirit, the pure spirit,
right,
and the pipe tobacco. And Bo, co-host of Country Squire Radio, the internet's own Country Squire Radio, pairing it with the cocktail. So we'll see. We'll see how I do. I feel thus far no one has given me too harsh of criticism.
I think you've done a good job.
I think I'm doing all right. I think we're doing good. So I'm excited, man. All right. We're here in Las Vegas. Okay. This presented a unique challenge.
Yeah. I'm eager to see how you're going to set this up because of what we're drinking today. I mean, this is not necessarily top shelf stuff, right?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
The Las Vegas element is an important part of this
whole
story.
It's an extremely important
part. It's the reason we're doing it.
That's exactly right. And I mean, like, okay, so obviously the listener has already known. They have seen the title of the episode. We will be talking about Jack Daniels. And so you see Jack Daniels and you think, Tennessee whiskey. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You should be doing this from Tennessee. Like, what are you doing? Like, what, is this, did y'all go to Nashville in the middle of your Vegas trip? Like, what's going on here? So, like, you know, I understand. I get it. But what you may not know, especially if your reaction is to, when you see that as a title, is that Jack Daniels was the favorite of one Frank Sinatra.
That's right. Frank Sinatra,
like, we're talking about, if you had like a pantheon of celebrities that lorded over Vegas, that ruled over Vegas, right? Like the kings of Vegas, if you will, the king of kings would be Frank Sinatra.
Maybe with Elvis in the mix too, but like there is a...
Fair point.
But you know, Las Vegas would not have the history it has in many, many ways, not just as an entertainment capital, but even as a destination. I don't know. There's a lot of things that have happened on the main stage and behind the scenes because of Frank Sinatra in this town.
That's right.
That's amazing to think about, but it's really true.
Sinatra was such a fascinating character, right? Because he existed in a lot of different spaces. He was in entertainment, but he was connected to politics. He was connected to the mob.
He
was a very interesting individual. And you know, I think that when I was trying to come up with, like, all right, what's the spirit that we need to do? Because you either go cocktail or you go spirit based on kind of location. And you have to do Jack Daniels. All right, so this is the interesting. Before doing the research here, I actually had no idea of, like, the connection between Frank Sinatra and Jack Daniels.
Right.
Because you think, you know, Frank Sinatra up on stage, you think that Rat Pack era of Vegas, you know, he's a fly me to the moon and let me stay amongst the stars.
Hey. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What's up, sweetheart? Yeah, no, like that whole bit, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And so, you know, you in your head, like, if you envision this, I mean, prior to talking and knowing about the Jack Daniels stuff.
Yeah, sure.
If you see him with a drink, what do you see him with? Like the picture, like, describe the glass to me.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm thinking like one of those you know, kind of 1920s, like little hourglass looking glasses.
The hourglass looking
glasses. Something like that. I think those are like old fashioned champagne glasses. Maybe something like that. I don't know, really.
But you don't think about like Jack Daniels in like a cup glass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
what do you call it?
A rocks glass.
Rocks glass.
Yeah.
But no, Frank Sinatra, man, he was big on Jack Daniels, and he was big on always having a drink with him when he was up on stage. And like the notion here was that to him, to hear his son tell it, the music that he sang was just as important as the spirit. The spirit was just as important to the music.
That's interesting.
And you got to think with these Vegas shows, it wasn't just about doing it glitz and glam and that sort of thing, especially back in that day.
It was
about the experience of being with this talent and being invited in to, you know, to the moment, essentially.
Right.
The Rat Pack, that were great about that, right? They would create all of these different shows, and then like somebody would show up and they would like, you know, kind of crash in on everybody.
Right. Yeah.
It was that high energy, that good, like, you know, all coming together. But with Sinatra, it was also about taking a sip and having a drink with the audience.
Wow.
And isn't like when you think about like connecting with, you want to take somebody out for a drink. He was having a drink with his audience.
With his audience. I've never thought about it that way, but I guess that, I mean, if it's coming from his son saying that kind of thing, it makes a lot of sense, you know?
I will never look at Jack Daniels the same way I have prior to doing the research.
Doing the research on, right.
Because like there's something
connecting
about
connecting the
dots. Yeah. There's something about somebody of Sinatra's caliber.
Yeah.
Co-signing something that makes you do a double take. Because I'll be honest, I have always written off Jack Daniels.
Sure.
I mean, like, just Jack Daniels. I mean, like, you know, it's like the cheapo thing that you get in college.
I mean, I drank it in college,
exactly.
I drank it in college. You know, and if I ever wanted a mixed drink or like a, you know, a Jack and Coke, I mean, it's called Jack and Coke for a reason, you know. Drank a lot of those in college and still do occasionally. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it's America's whiskey, but you know, it's not something I necessarily go buy all the time.
Right. It's on top of mind. Of course not.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, typically for your shelf at your house, you're trying to keep a little something, you know, a little bit that you can be a little proud of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, no, look, you can now be proud of your Jack Daniels.
I'm excited.
Sinatra referred to it as the nectar of the gods. He was always praising this. And much like you and Boodles and me and Gorham Brothers hats, he didn't get paid a dime for the fact that he kept on, like, talking him up.
Yep. And he probably made them a lot of dimes.
He really did. He was actually pretty good friends with some of the folks that worked there and everything. Always talked about how much they made the best whiskey on the planet. And yeah, man, Jack Daniels, he was his drink was a Jack, ice, and water. We're doing that without the ice and the water portion of it, but that's what we're enjoying right now.
Yeah.
And hey, cheers.
No, cheers, Bo.
Clink, clink. Yeah, I don't even have... So, all right, full disclosure, we don't have glasses, so I can't even make the clink sound.
Well, you know, we're in this, like, fancy lot... Well, fancy is kind of a...
That is a stretch.
That's a stretch, yeah. But we're in a hotel in Las Vegas.
That is accurate.
And that is accurate. And, yeah, there's no glassware in the room. It's we got these precious little cups that we're drinking out of. So it's probably good that we're not, you know, doing, I don't know, some really limited edition Woodford Reserve or something today, or, you know, Buffalo Trace, or I don't know, whatever.
So here's the thing. After saying all of that and waxing poetic about Jack Daniels and everything else, and mostly Frank Sinatra, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But because I find that the most interesting thing about Jack Daniels is Frank Sinatra's co-signing of it.
Yeah.
Sipping it right now, I mean, I'm just being honest.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I have a place for this. Like, you know, there's times that, like, you know, if I wanted a little whiskey on ice after dinner, after a long day, not really thinking a whole lot about, you know, what I'm going after, like, this is great, you know? And I mean, I don't know, there's a place for Jack Daniels. I mean, I drink a lot of Wild Turkey, you know, and this goes in that same kind of category.
Oh, sure, it's absolutely. Like,
you know, it's a you know, relatively quality, you know, whiskey that, you know, you can get, and it's really versatile, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just
standardized. Like, at this point, you know exactly what you're going to get.
You
there's
know
not
going to
be
getting
any hiccups or anything like that.
Right.
Got a little bit of sweetness up front, some pretty strong bite at the end, I think.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. It is a bitey whiskey, but that, you know, a lot of times when people drink whiskey, that's kind of what they're, you know, what they're going for. That, I think that's the old fashioned, like, man, you didn't walk into a saloon and ask for whiskey and, you know, want to chase notes of, like,
right.
Oh, I don't get the dark chocolate. And
right.
You know, I mean, I don't really, there's no stone fruit in this whiskey. It's like, nah, you want to feel like you got punched in the face when you drank it.
That's, you know, you know what? That is a fair point. Okay. We're out in the desert. You know, we're kicking it back.
It's
to
actually,
the Sinatra
this
days.
Is exactly where we should be.
This is exactly where we should be drinking.
No, that's
this.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's great.
It
man.
Makes a lot of sense. You
so
know,
this is what we're drinking. What should we be smoking? That's what I want to know.
Man, I did want to pair this with something that would smooth it out a little little bit. And I picked something that is very accessible, and you know, I thought, you know, would be a good fit for folks that are pretty much anywhere. But it's a tobacco from a company we're all familiar with, Lane Limited. And this one is called RLP6.
Oh, now, yeah.
RLP6, we've talked about on the show before. We may have even used it in a pairing before. But this is an incredibly versatile tobacco. It's sweet, but not cloyingly sweet. And it does, I think, the smoothness of some of these Lane blends, you know, they are, you know, well-made aromatic tobaccos, and really have a, you know, maltiness to them that I think pairs well with the Jack Daniels. But it's Virginia's and Burley, toasted Cavendish, and, you know, it has a nice amount of depth to it. The RLP6 is flavored with honey, molasses. There's a kind of a nougat vanilla note there, but it's just a creamy, sweet tobacco that's not overly sweet, and it's very smooth. And this is also tobacco that blends well with others. You know, if you wanted to maybe try to make your own concoction with even an English blend to sweeten up an English blend, or, you know, mix it with some other aromatic tobaccos that maybe you aren't crazy about, RLP6 does great kind of in that vein. So, but I thought the RLP6, the silkiness of it, the, you know, because it's very approachable, it's very it's just very smooth. It kind of helps even out the rough edges of the Jack Daniels, and when you're smoking a pipe, you know, you don't want it to be necessarily too harsh of an experience. And so you know, I think it worked well.
All right, man. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah,
that's a good pairing. I see that. But you know, these days I do pairings too.
You do. So now it's time to bring in the big guns.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, like, definitely bringing in something. Okay. Before I pivot us, there is one extremely important fact that I forgot to mention. I feel bad about this.
Yeah.
Famously, Frank Sinatra was buried with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So if you and I were to go to his grave right now,
right. Yeah. That's right. It's 6 feet under with Old Blue Eyes is Old Brown Label.
I tell you what.
Or Old Black Label.
Black Label, yeah. I tell you what, you know, that would be, you know, you think about, like, what were those movies by those two brothers that did, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And is it the...
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. But I can never call their name. Yeah.
They should make a movie about, like a heist movie, but the heist is stealing the bottle of Jack Daniels in Frank Sinatra's
out
coffin.
Of Frank Sinatra's grave.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It'd be a great grave digger, smuggling, all kinds of weird themes.
I think that'd be amazing.
That could be great.
That could be kind of cool. All right. So we're about to mix it up here. Now, this figuring out that Jack Daniels was the spirit we should talk about in Vegas, yeah, was not the challenge. The challenge was, okay, well, you know, in thinking about a cocktail, how do you make it Vegas?
Yeah.
And that is tough. So what I decided to do is, like, again, I'm thinking Vegas. I'm thinking a little bit more classy. I'm thinking the hourglass type of, you know,
like
container.
Like we discussed, yeah.
Absolutely. And on top of that, this is, you know, it's a whiskey. You know what I mean? Well, this is not like leaning hard into the bourbon area. This is not leaning hard into the rye.
It's not a, like,
specific area.
Super nuanced spirit here, but it's very blunt force, but it does the job. It does it well.
Blunt, but versatile. Like, the thing is, yeah, you can actually put it in a couple cocktails. So you and I last night, okay, we had some dinner, had a good time. You're like, hey, let's, like, poke around some casinos and everything. We poked around casinos, like, this is cool. It's cool. I got a place I need to show you.
This was awesome.
And so we went to, and I forget the name of the hotel.
The Cosmopolitan.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
At the base of the Cosmopolitan,
which is right next to the Bellagio.
Right next to the Bellagio, the corner area you enter in, and what you see is you see a barbershop.
This is so cool. I don't know how you found that. Well, you told me this story, but, like, the experience of everything that Beau's about to tell you was just, it was awesome.
So we go up to this barbershop, which has a bouncer. Actually, it's two bouncers, but there's a bouncer at the door. They just let somebody in, so there wasn't currently a line, which is nice.
There's people in there getting their neck shaved.
There are people getting cut and everything, and it's nice. So we're now standing out here. The bouncer's like, all right, two guys. Uh-huh. And so he's letting us just kind of warm up the line a little bit, you know, right, like let us hold it down.
Yeah, like, a couple bros, like, yeah,
we're just helping him. We're just hanging out with him,
yeah,
you know,
no, that's
like,
right,
that sort of thing. So anyway, I'm like, and you know, I've got kind of a, I'm like, all right, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be, you know, I want to get through here. And, you know, as I mentioned, I was like, I think you asked me, did you have to wait last time you got in? I was like, well, my date looked a lot nicer than you. I was wearing something a little different. So I'd be like, yeah, we were able to get in a lot faster.
Right, right.
It was me and my wife. But anyway, so we wait. And fortunately, the next bouncer comes out, kind of looks us over. And it's just two of y'all. He's like, all right. And so they let us back. We walk back through the barbershop. What happens next, John David?
Yeah, they take us into this room that is essentially a closet. I think they might have even literally had like a utility sink.
Yeah, that's right. There was like a little utility. Yeah.
Yeah, and a mop bucket or something. And then the guy raps on the door.
Metal like, door. Metal, big heavy metal
door. Metal door, yeah. Very nondescript. And what happens, but the eye peephole slides open. It was just like out of the movies.
Aggressively.
It was.
Like, yeah.
And these beady eyes stuck out of this peephole and like looked us over really good.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, come on in.
Yes. And then we go back.
It was
in.
Awesome. It yeah. was awesome.
You got a great bar. You got some live music that's going on. Dude playing like acoustic 90s best of.
Oh, it was great.
It was great. A blast.
And it was so, if you ever are like in find yourself in Las Vegas again and on the, you know, Las Vegas Strip, like Cosmopolitan Hotel, like, you know, front corner of, you know, of the hotel, walk in, barbershop to your left, just wait in line at the barbershop.
It's worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Well, I told you, as soon as we walked in, because you didn't know what to expect. And so, like, you're looking around, you got a big grin on your face. I was like, I feel like this is more the country.
It accomplished the goal. Yeah.
This is where we need to be.
It was awesome.
And, you know, I reference all that. I want to tell that story for two reasons. One, that's where we got our cocktail. But
yeah.
Beyond that, it's also because we just recently did this episode on speakeasies. And in that conversation, we talked about, like, you know, what's authentic versus what's very like fake. What I love about this place is obviously it's not authentic. It's Vegas. You don't need a speakeasy in Vegas.
Yeah, seriously.
But at the same time, this one is more performance. It's more of like an immersive theater type of experience as opposed to just like a fake at like a hotel type of situation.
Yeah,
you know
they
what
didn't
I mean?
Just like, throw this thing together and we're like, oh, that'll be cute.
Exactly.
And people will think, you know, that might happen somewhere like in, you know, our hometown or something, you know, but like, you know, that's not the deal here. Like this, it was like walking into an immersive theater experience. It was really neat.
You were cast in this moment. It was so great.
It was really, really cool.
So we've got access to cocktails, like quality cocktails. Like they've got a great staff.
Top shelf.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, I get up there to the bar and I'm like, okay, I need to order a Manhattan. But I need to order a Jack Daniel's Manhattan. Now, you were not with me when I ordered, but our waitress, very lovely waitress who was helping us out, and it was loud because the music.
Yeah.
I was like, I need two Manhattans, but with Jack Daniel's. And she's like, what? She gave me the biggest like, you're like, what?
What the heck? Like, do we even have that?
I was like, well, no, they definitely had Jack, but I was like, I'm asking her to make a Manhattan with Jack.
Because
like
sure.
Typically when you think about a Manhattan, you think about rye.
Yeah.
Or you think about bourbon, but you generally don't think Jack Daniel's in a Manhattan.
I tell you though, it was great.
I thought it was the perfect way to class this up because more often than not, when you're ordering a Manhattan, and which is of course the cocktail that we're making or that we've had and we're about to pair here, you know, you can do it with rye or you can do it with bourbon. So the Manhattan in and of itself is very much a versatile cocktail.
Sure, yeah.
I think I've mentioned before, but my favorite version of the Manhattan is actually a Grammy Hatton is what we call it because it's named after my grandmother because she makes it every Christmas. And it's four parts bourbon to one part sweet vermouth. And then a little splash of cherry juice. You shake it up and that's a Grammy Hatton right
there. It's a giant shot and it's awesome.
But we did it very much the classic way and that's how we're going to pair it today. So we're talking about Manhattan. We're using, of course, Frank Sinatra's favorite. We're using Jack Daniel's. A couple of bitters. We're talking about sweet vermouth and that's it. That's it right there. What you call a shot in a glass, which I find very offensive.
It's just a giant shot. It's just that's all a martini is.
So offensive.
It's just, there's nothing in there that's not alcoholic except bitter.
It tastes delicious, man.
It was really, really good.
Definitely got some notes of like some herbal undertones. Mm-hmm. It's sweet, but not too sweet.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of, I think, the Manhattan is that it's not like it doesn't have like that sugary sweetness. There's no simple syrup or anything like that. The cherry that is typically used as garnish in and of itself is a flavor profile that's introduced because of the subtlety that the sweetness of the cherry provides. And because it's not competing with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. It's not overly complex, but, you know, complex enough. And it definitely makes you feel better, a little classier about drinking Jack Daniel's because let's be honest, we are not Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra can drink whatever he wants and it is classy. You and me, we got to dress it up a little bit.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Doll this thing up.
So here I am now with this, this cocktail. It's delicious. And I'm trying to think, okay, what do I pair this with? Now I thought about going two different routes with it. For one thing, because the cocktail is generally, a Manhattan is generally complex. I was thinking about doing like a pipe tobacco that was kind of a little out of the way.
Yeah.
To let the complexity of the drinks, you know, come through and enjoy it from that standpoint. But because this is Jack Daniels, and because, like, I don't know, I felt like it needed just a little something extra, or would benefit from a little something extra.
Yeah, sure.
So I thought, well, you know, generally you don't have this sweetness, but because Jack Daniels can be such a punch in the face, and while the complexity of the cocktail does kind of help melt, like mild it up a little bit,
yeah,
so to
sure,
speak,
kind of round it out.
I think it could benefit from a good sweetness. And like as I was doing the research, I was really looking more for like more of a mild pipe tobacco, but I kept on thinking like, you know, it does need that sweetness. This is going to be interesting pairing, because you don't think about this particular blend when you're thinking like a late night enjoyment. I'm saying second breakfast. Bring some of that maple vanilla into the mix.
Yeah.
And I think that that would really be an interesting pairing. Not contrast, but in like a good melding of flavors.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. All the flavor profiles, they're married together. You get a molassesy, maple-y note there that is warm and inviting. I think it's great. Yeah, man. Second breakfast with a Manhattan.
There you go.
Awesome.
I know. It sounds weird saying it out loud, doesn't it? But I think it'd be
great.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, with a Jack Daniels Manhattan.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how our listeners take it. The great thing about Jack Daniels is the Jack Daniels through the lens of Frank Sinatra is it allows you to see things as more classy as you would have otherwise. Mm. Kind of like when you're enjoying a good quality corncob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Now, obviously, this is the era of Thanksgiving. The era? The age?
The age of Thanksgiving?
It's the Thanksgiving season. And in the Thanksgiving season, you see corncob pipes everywhere. Turkeys have got them in their mouth. You know, scarecrows have got them in their mouth.
Pilgrims and stuff. Yep.
But you know, classy gents like you and me rock a corncob pipe all the time.
Yeah.
And our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for Thanksgiving got a little something going on too.
Man, they do. So awesome sale right now going on. If you'll head over to corncobpipe.com, you can check out the promotions they've got going for the Thanksgiving season all the way up through November 29th. So be sure to go there. This is a great time to get your Thanksgiving corncob pipe going into Christmas time, load it up with your favorite holiday themed tobaccos and, you know, pair it with that favorite drink. So it's the time to do it. Go to corncobpipe.com and check them out. Send some love Missouri Meerschaum's way, and they'd love to send you a high-quality American-made pipe.
And good thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in this week from Father Isaac. Father Isaac has been
lighting up our mailbox.
He really has. He's got some great questions for us. He says, I bought my latest batch of chestnut in a 14-ounce tub. I know the old drugstore blend often comes in such tubs. Will that keep my tobacco fresh, or do I need to get a big mason jar to transfer it into? Father Isaac, so describe what he's talking about with this tub, this 14-ounce tub.
Well, yeah, Have you ever bought margarine that comes in a tub?
Margarine?
Like, we don't use margarine in our house, but like, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like one of those plastic tubs.
Like Cool Whip?
Like Cool Whip comes in?
Yes.
Like that kind of tub is basically what he's talking about. Like okay, that, interesting. Like a lot of drugstore type tobaccos historically came in containers like that. And some other tobaccos still do. Huh. So Father Isaac, you're going to want to take this out of that.
So let me ask you this. Do those, because if you get the Cool Whip or you get the what'd you say, margarine?
Yeah.
Generally you got the plastic covering on top of it alongside of like the top. Like
yeah.
Where you peel off the plastic. Does it the same thing for pipe tobacco as well?
You know, I'm actually not sure about that. I bet it probably is.
Okay.
But my guess, before I answer this, I already answered it. Like, yeah, you're going to want to transfer it.
Buried the lead there.
Unless you're going through it pretty quick. You know, Father Isaac, like if this is something that you're crushing, you know, pretty fast, then yeah, you don't really necessarily need to worry about it. But I think on average, like, you know, if this is a tobacco that you want to keep super fresh and you'll be going through it over the course of more than a month, then yeah, put it in a mason jar. I think you'll be glad you did. There's always kind of a grief in that because you're, you know, separating the tobacco from its original packaging and, oh, you know, we take it out of our beautiful tins and put it in these, you know, clunky mason jars. And so but it's just part of, you know, kind of keeping the tobacco, you know, at optimal smokeability. And so I think that's probably what you need. Those containers are okay, you know, for a while, but they're really thin. I think they, you know, are going to leak moisture like a sieve. You know, I think it's probably safer to go ahead and put it in a mason jar.
Yeah. Plus it looks nicer, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I mean, like, you now have me visualizing pipe tobacco stored in a Cool Whip container.
Yeah. Generally, the ones, though, you see for pipe tobacco is a little taller. They're not as wide as a Cool Whip container.
Okay.
But it's that same exact...
Same material.
Same material and same design with the little plastic lid and everything. So, you know, you'll see them almost the size, or like, you know, those smaller coffee cans?
Yeah.
Maybe a size like that, okay. But of a material of that same kind of making.
I just think it looks nice in a mason jar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go, Father. Thank you so much for that question. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, you could send it in the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. All right, man. Quick fire questions. Okay. So as I mentioned on a previous episode, there's a lot of quick fire questions that we're doing this time around that are pulled from the Harry Potter house sorting system. I never actually asked you.
That's so funny.
Like, I know that you didn't read Harry Potter. You didn't watch the movies.
I watched the first maybe two movies.
But you're familiar enough with, like...
I know about the hat picking thing.
Well, yeah. Do you know the names of the houses? Curiously?
I know there's a Gryffindor and a Slytherin.
Okay, well, those are the big two.
Yeah.
You got Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw.
Okay, that I remember those now that you say that.
Yeah. You would probably be a Hufflepuff.
That sounds about
But you might be a Ravenclaw. I don't know. I'm just everybody says Hufflepuff is the coolest.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna have to see.
The cool kids.
Yeah. All right, so again, even though we're pulling from that, this is not necessarily to determine that. I just want to acknowledge
it. Just throwing it out there.
Well, I feel like there's going to be like a couple of people who are going to make these questions sound familiar.
Oh, Bo's definitely a Hufflepuff.
I think I'm a Gryffindor from every single thing I've done. I'm definitely not a Ravenclaw because I'm not smart enough. Okay, I'm just going to ask the questions. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
What do you hate the most? Hunger, cold, loneliness, boredom, or being ignored?
Golly.
Yeah.
This makes me want to...
There's some good questions in here.
This makes me want to drink the rest of that Jack Daniel.
So loneliness.
Golly, I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's terrible. Probably loneliness.
I think being ignored for me. I mean, loneliness is probably like a close second.
Those are kind of cousins, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I think, because a week ago... Prior to us coming here, let me say that.
Yeah.
Prior to us coming here, I was getting ready for, you know, we did the Kickstarter launch. And of course, that's now closed out. And whether we succeeded or not, I have no earth idea because that's future me knows and I don't know. But I was doing all that. My wife was in D.C. and we had been working on the project together. But she had to be in D.C. for work. And so she wasn't there. And then, of course, the kids were at school. And, you know, I felt very lonely and I hated that feeling of loneliness. But I could exist in it. You know what I mean? Like I could do that. being ignored when I am at my weakest, like when I'm like angry, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? When I fail the hardest, it's typically because of that feeling of being ignored. Because that feeling of being ignored feels like disrespect. And you know, and it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And it's something that I have to deal with. But that feeling of disrespect tends to evoke a reaction from me that, you know, and so I'm not saying that it's a good thing that I hate this the most, but I think if I'm,
if you're honest with yourself,
exactly. Yeah. That's probably what it
makes
is.
Sense. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next one. If you had to live with a curse.
Okay.
One of these curses. Oh yeah. We should have done this one back in like, if you had to live with a curse, which would you prefer? Werewolf, zombie after you die, vampire, or mummy, which is basically just a more fashionable zombie. I put that part in because I was like...
A zombie with toilet paper.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, literally, like, has this been discussed? A zombie is, like, a mummy is literally a zombie.
Yeah.
But, like, with a different clothing sense. That's
well,
it.
Well, I can immediately write off zombie and mummy because those have post-death...
implications.
Ramifications that sure. I'm not interested in. So,
you want the benefits of your quote unquote curse right now.
Yeah, right now. And then I don't want to deal with them in eternity. So,
okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'll probably go with werewolf, I think.
You know, the nice thing about a werewolf is you can't control it, right? I mean, it's like, it's just something that happened to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
a full moon and, you know,
you lock yourself up on the full moon, you're fine.
No, that's right.
That's good. I think I would too. Zombie. There's just not a whole lot of perks of zombie. I know that like they were
really not.
I mean, well, actually, not zombie vampires. What I was gonna say. There's not a whole lot of perks of vampire. And I know that like, what was that show? Twilight. Twilight made it all classy.
You can't ever eat garlic again.
That's torture. I didn't even think about
definitely
that.
Definitely not vampire.
Yeah, no, definitely not vampire.
Werewolf you can only get killed by a stake to the heart. Isn't that a thing?
Vampire?
I think so.
Stake to the heart. Your head chopped off. Sunlight, you can't be outside because
sunlight
will kill you.
Yeah.
There's actually holy water will get you.
Okay, werewolf.
Yeah.
This is an easy answer, werewolf.
Only way to kill a werewolf is with silver bullets. You're basically immortal unless somebody happens to be carrying around silver bullets.
Well, I do drink Coors Light.
All right, let's last one. Confession time. Did you ever cheat in college, high school, or otherwise? And if so, how?
Yes, and I think in high school, I copied someone's math homework.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't cheat in college that I can remember. I hope not. But yeah, I think I do remember cheating in high school.
Interesting.
And I think it was like in trig or something.
Okay. So you copied off somebody's homework. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah. Ms. Luscom, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I cheated so much in high school. It's crazy. that's not entirely true. No, when I cheated, I typically cheated big.
Yeah.
So, summer before my senior year, I hadn't done any of my reading.
Man, this is confession time.
Summer reading.
Yeah.
Okay. Did y'all have summer reading?
Yeah.
We were setting the standard at my high school, or that's
well,
what
you went
us.
To Flowood Tech, Tassie, so right. Yeah, I went to public school, so I mean, we were, you know, we had our chickens running around. And stuff,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so all right. So the summer before our senior year, I had not done my summer reading, and what I did was I found every single person in our class who also didn't do our summer reading.
Yeah.
And what I did was, you were supposed to read this long textbook, and basically you had to write an outline, a detailed outline of what happens in every single chapter. So what I did was, we organized it all at my friend's house, and I had assigned everybody to one chapter, and everybody was supposed to read one chapter and write that chapter in outline. Then I had two guys that were taking all of the notes and making individual difference. I think we had 23 people in total working on this project.
It's really sophisticated.
Yeah, it may have been actually in the like late teens, but somewhere in there, like somewhere between 15 and 20 some. And they had to go through and they had to differentiate the outlines so that it wasn't clear that they were all, you know, coming from the same source.
Wow.
And so the homework got done. The great thing is that the entire time I was getting people water, making sure everybody had everything they needed to do, didn't read a lick of the book. John Davin. Didn't read a lick of the book.
Man, that's amazing.
I learned more managerial skills.
Yeah,
from
right.
That, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing.
You justify it.
No, this is fair. The work got done. And like the thing is, what they called cheating in high school, we now call collaboration
that's
in
true.
Like the real world. So I was just ahead of the game is the way I see it. But anyway.
Don't cheat in school. If you're listening.
I think what I did was far more of an education than otherwise. Because I feel, you know what, maybe I'm a Slytherin actually now that I think
about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're going in that direction pretty hard.
Oh, man. All right, well, there you go. That's funny. Those are our quick-fire questions. If you got some quick-fire questions for us, send them in the show. That is show at countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man, we got one in from C.M. Gilbert. What did Gilbert have to say?
C.M. Gilbert, I've recently, in the last 2 months, returned to my pipe and even rescued a Camoys and Savinelli estate pipe from eBay. I've really enjoyed the banter between the two of you. It brings the genuine and insightful to a generally superfluous and hectic world. I've really enjoyed all the shows, but the ones so far that have brought a proper pause were the From the Library episodes on the books The Miracle of Mindfulness and Grief Observed.
Mm.
Just so you know, Douglas Gresham was Jack's adopted son who lived with him after his mother's death. You can find some of his talks on YouTube. He had a unique perspective being a young man with one of the greatest minds of the 20th century. Thanks for helping my commute to and from a difficult job. And that's from C.M. Gilbert. Man, thank you so much. I'm glad you particularly enjoyed those. And it makes me want to go back and reread those things and listen to some of those pieces again. They were, that was good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Man, Gilbert, thank you for that. You know, the Grief Observed, that's going to come back into play in our faith episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking about that particular episode we did very recently. And it's going to come back into play specifically, and I've already thought about how I want to reference that and something from that.
But sure,
it's nice to hear, man. And it's good to hear from folks like especially what y'all have enjoyed about the new series, and even those of you who wrote in and said that this or that isn't my particular cup of tea. We appreciate all that feedback for sure.
Yeah,
man, we are right now sitting just a few days away from Thanksgiving. Y'all are going to be in town, I'm sure.
Yep.
Okay.
I know. Got it. Can't leave far at Thanksgiving because Black Friday is the very next day.
Are you able to share out any kind of Black Friday deals or anything of that nature? Give people a
tease? As we're recording, no, we haven't finalized any of that yet.
Okay.
So, yeah. But
what is your process for that? I mean, I know that it's like accounting and such, but in terms of like,
yeah,
is there any kind of like?
Well, it's got to make sense as far as what we can afford to do, and also like how much we need to drive sales, and if there's new products we really want to draw attention to, or maybe. Maybe products that, have kind of we really think are great, but have kind of, not been, as frequented lately. And so we, we think a lot about those things when we start thinking about Black Friday, but I'm sure we'll do something related to pipes and pipe tobacco.
Yeah, well,
imagine that.
That's
imagine that.
It's a fair bet. Fair bet. All right. Well, fair enough, man. Well, I'm looking forward to being in town and seeing you. I'm sure I'll pop in very briefly while you're going to be way too busy to say hey.
Oh, man, it'll be crazy, but I do look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, you and I, we're about to head out to the Las Vegas Pipe Show as we're recording this right now,
which means that
episode, if I'm not mistaken, will be coming out next week. So look forward to our live show from Las Vegas headed your way next week. We're going to have a blast. We're anticipating it. Brian Levine is texting me right now asking where we are. so we gotta do that. Man, I want to encourage everybody, if you'd like to keep in touch with us, please do so. You can email the show at countrysquireradio.com. You can follow the show at Squire Radio, John David at John David Cole, the shop at _ Country Squire. And all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right, man. You ready to do this?
Man, let's do it. I'm excited.
Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.